Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Ramsey coming to you from Missouri. We're still studying about Israel and Israel's exclusive covenant with God. And we're today going to deal with a chapter on strangers in the Scriptures. Now, I explained in my Bible class here, and I've explained to you what I'm trying to do in this study is to give you the material and the arguments that you can use with people who have questions. And that's what happens when you begin to teach people the doctrine and the truth about Israel and God's relationship to them. They want to have questions answered about what happens to other people and what about the other races and what about this and that and the other. And some will object over various things. And in the Old Testament, there are scriptures that certainly look as if they are saying that non-Israelite strangers could become circumcised, keep the Passover, the laws of Moses, and thus become as one born in the land. This is a matter which is being questioned. And I want to show you that there are many words in the Old Testament for stranger, and those that deal with foreigners or other races were strongly condemned and told to stay away from the altar, the tabernacle, and any of the sacrifices. The immediate necessity is to look at the word stranger and similar words like foreigner, sojourner, and alien. In both the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament, there are many different words loosely translated as strangers, foreigners, and servants, etc. And this is the problem. Our translators, this includes the NIV as well as the King James, have had no system of consistent rendering of any of these words. That there are strangers who are Israelites and strangers who are not Israelites is very obvious. In the Old Testament, there are eight words which are translated as strangers, strangers, foreigners, sojourners, or aliens, and some clarification is necessary. Without this clarification, we have translations which make the Bible appear contradictory and inconsistent. In the New Testament, there are 10 words which are variously translated so that it is clear that each word in the original has a different meaning. Some of the New Testament quotations are from Old Testament origins, and therefore they show a close alliance between the two languages. What are the different kinds of strangers? In the Old Testament, we have the Hebrew word ger, G-E-R. They can be Adamic Israel. The most commonly misunderstood word is ger, which is translated as strangers 86 times out of the 92 times it occurs in the Old Testament. The meaning of this word might be summarized as being an Israelite who lives apart from the main body of Israel. That is, living among or in the land of other races. The important fact is that this stranger is an Israelite by race. It is not hard to find instances where the translators have translated the same Hebrew word in the same context into two different English words. This makes immediate nonsense of those verses when taken as translated. Following are the main Hebrew words translated stranger, foreigner, sojourner, etc. The comments include a summation of the meaning of the key terms and the status of people covered by those terms in the eyes of the law. The summations are based on usage of the word in Scripture, as shown throughout this chapter. The words are Strong's H4033 Magwur, or M-A-G-U-W-R. From 1481 in the sense of lodging, a temporary abode, by extensions a permanent residence, dwelling, pilgrimage, where sojourn be a stranger. They can be Adamic Israel. For example, Genesis 17:8, the land wherein thou art a stranger. This is talking about Israel being a stranger in the land. It is used of places where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dwelled in their travels or pilgrimage. We will use the term Israelite dweller among non-Israelites. Then we have a second word, H1616 in Strong's, ger, what we mentioned before, Adamite Hebrew Israelite, a guest, by implication, a foreigner, alien, or sojourner. For example, Genesis 15:13, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs." This was talking about Abraham. A person of one's own blood or race who is visiting in the district and is not known to the residents of the area. Israelites who were not present at the covenant sanctification ceremony in Mount Sinai, such as the descendants of Judah's son Zerah. Moses named his son Gershom because he was visiting from Egypt and Canaan, as opposed to being in exile. The Jerim, G-E-R-I-M, have equal rights before the law and can accumulate wealth in Israel. We will use the term Israelite kinsman visitor to show the genetic connection. Another word in Strong's H2114 is zuwr, Z-U-W-R, used as a participle with the force of a noun or of another race, to turn aside, especially for lodging, hence to be a foreigner, strange, profane, specifically to commit adultery, come from another man, place, fanner, go away, strange, or strange woman. That's used many times. For example, Numbers 16:40, "No stranger which is not of the seed of Israel." The basic thought is of non-acquaintance and non-relatedness, a complete alien, no racial connection. In other contexts, one who is not an Israelite, a Shemite, or a Hebrew, this person has no rights or protection under the law and will be killed on sight if found near the temple. We will use the term alien to Israel of another race. Then we have in Strong's the word Nekar, N-E-K-A-R. It's number H5236. From 5234, foreign, or C-O-N-C-R, a foreigner, or an abstract, heathendom, alien, strange, stranger, of another race. So there's another word that means of another race. For example, Genesis 17:12, "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house, or bought with money, of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, not of your own immediate family," refers to what is foreign to a family or a tribe or nation. Hence, the son of a stranger refers to the son of a foreigner, and these are half-caste Israelites. "Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree." In our context, we will use the term foreigner, put away gods, the foreigners of another race, which are in the midst of you. Means of another race. Here's another word which means another race. It's Nokry, N-O-K-R-I-Y, H5237 in Strong's. Strange in a variety of degrees and applications, foreign, non-relative, adulterous, different, wonderful, alien, foreigner, outlandish, stranger. For example, Judges 19:12, "And his master said unto him, We will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger, that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah." Compare with Ruth 2:10, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger, a foreign person, with respect to Boaz and his people, because Ruth had come from a different Israelite tribe." Similarly, a strange woman as opposed to one's wife is referred to as an adulteress. In our context, it describes one who is not of Israel, but is a Shemite, or Hebrew versus an alien, zuwr. Harlots in Israelite times were typically not Israelite women, but were quite similar in appearance because they were broadly related genetic line. Thus, it refers to Hebrew people with whom marriage is forbidden, Canaanites, Moabites, Ammonites, and whom Israelites were always led away to other gods. So these could have had Adamite traits, but they were not Israelites. Another word is Toshab, T-O-W-S-H-A-B. That's a Hebrew word. Adamite, Hebrew, or Israelite could be either one. a dweller but not outlandish, especially as distinguished from a native citizen and a temporary inmate or a mere lodger, resident, alien, foreigner, inhabitant, sojourner, stranger. So we would say they could be of Israelite blood or Adamic blood. For example, Leviticus 25:6, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. Compare 1 Kings 17:1 and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants, the Toshab of Gilead. The majority of the references are to a temporary landless wage earner, hence not naturalized. In our context, the lowest order and basically had no rights other than access to the cities of refuge. The children of the Toshab could be bought as perpetual servants without prospect of redemption and could not hold any position of authority. In our context, we will use the expression temporary resident, or they could be Adamite Israelite. Each of these terms apply their meanings according to their context and hence can be used of Israelites as well as other people. For example, Abraham described himself as a sojourner to the sons of Heth. However, our interest is the use of these terms with reference to the status of non-Israelites within Israel. By way of example, let us look at one of the standard scriptures used by Universalists. In Exodus 12:19, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger, a kinsman visitor, or born in the land. This verse makes perfect sense when we realize the stranger in this case is in fact an Israelite, but not one who was present in Mount Sinai at the time of the formal covenant ceremonies. Compare this with Exodus 12:43-49. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the order of the Passover. There shall be no stranger. The AV text is deficient here. The Hebrew reads, no son of a stranger, but Ben-Nikar, son of a foreigner, a half-caste, eat thereof. But every man's servant, bondservant, that is bought with money, when thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner, a foreign person, or a hired servant, a man at wages by the day of or the year, not the same as a bondservant, shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn, that is a kinsman visitor, shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger, the kinsman visitor, that sojourneth among you. In the American version, or the authorized version, of this quotation, there are four categories of people mentioned in regard to the ordinance of the Passover, and it looks as if the stranger mentioned as forbidden at the beginning of the verse is suddenly allowed to partake at the end of the verses. However, the translations do not reveal that there is a fifth category, the kinsman visitor, who is the one allowed to partake if the males of his family are circumcised. Let us look at some of the variations in the English translations of these verses. The NIV calls the first stranger an alien, and the second one a temporary resident, which is not correct. The half-caste is not an alien, and the kinsman visitor is not the same as an alien who is temporarily living in the country. The Revised Standard Version calls the first a foreigner and the second a stranger. The first one is wrong, and the second one is only partly right. The kinsman visitor is a stranger, but it does not reveal the racial connection that is present in the Hebrew word. The Living Bible actually calls the second pair of strangers foreigners, which is so far off the mark that it is completely misleading. The sincerity of the translators is not the issue here, but there are important implications for how we view the New Testament verses on similar subjects. In the New Testament, we will have pilgrims and strangers, aliens, and foreigners. We have been taught or have presumed certain things about these words, but the right teachings are in fact the same as are presented in the Old Testament. The New Testament is based on the Old Testament and is written in the Old Testament. If certain of the strangers in the Old Testament were Israelites by race, might not certain of these strangers still be Israelites by race in the New Testament? New Testament strangers. In the New Testament, we also find a variety of words translated as strangers, foreigners, aliens, and pilgrims. As the translators did not understand the differences between the different terms for strangers in the Old Testament, it should not surprise us to find the same confusion in the New Testament. The Greek words translated stranger, pilgrim, or sojourner are allogenes, allotrios, apollotrio, epidemio, xenidoshio, xenos, paraepitedemos, perica, and periukos, and philonexia. With reference to strong thayer and vine, the words that are relevant to this chapter are allotrios, an adjective, meaning another's, that is, not one's own, by extensions, foreign, not akin, hostile, alien, other men, strangers, belonging to another, hence not of one's own group, family, nation, or kingdom, an alien. This is equivalent to the Hebrew word nekar, N-E-K-R, which means of another race. Another word is apollotrio. It is a verb, apio, from plus altrios, to a strange away, that is, pass, and figurative, to be non-participant, alienate, to be alien. To alienate is strange, to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy, to be rendered alien, to be alienated, the condition of unbelievers and presented in a threefold state of alienation, from the commonwealth of Israel, from the love of God, from God himself, hence to be shut out from one's group. There is no equivalent for this word in the Hebrew terms. We will use the term estranged. What this means is any person who's estranged could be of any race, but it includes those of Israel. The 10 tribes were cast away. They were temporarily alienated from the covenant of God. Another word is epidemio, to make oneself at home, that is, to reside in a foreign country, to be dwelling where there are strangers, to be present among one's people in one's city or one's native land, to be a sojourner of a foreigner resident among any people in any country. This is the participle equivalent of the Hebrew ger, G-E-R. We will use the term visiting, and these are Adamic Hebrew Israelites. The next word is xenos. It's an adjective meaning foreign, alien, or figuratively novel, by implication a guest, or vice versa, entertainer, host, stranger, a foreigner, a stranger, alien from the person or a thing, without the knowledge of, without a share in, new, unheard of, one who receives and entertains another hospitality, with whom he stays or lodges. Strange denotes a stranger in the sense of an unknown person of the same group. There is no equivalent for this word in the Hebrew terms. We will use the word stranger, could be of any race, including Israel. The word parapedemios is an adjective or a noun, and expressing the contrary condition, to sojourn a people, an alien alongside, that is, a resident foreigner, a pilgrim, a stranger, one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives, a stranger sojourning in a strange place, a foreigner, in the New Testament metaphorically, in reference to heaven as the native country, one who sojourns on earth, sojourning in the strange place away from one's own people, used of those to whom heaven is their own country and who are sojourners on earth, denotes a sojourner and exile. As this term is related to epidemio above, it is the equivalent of the Hebrew word ger. We will use the term visitor, which can be and usually is Adamic Hebrew Israelite. Periakia is another word, foreign resident, sojourning as strangers, a dwelling near or with one, dwelling in a strange land. A life of a man here on earth is likened to a sojourn. And we will use it's similar to the Hebrew word toshab, and we will use the term temporary resident, speaking of Adamic Hebrew Israelite. Another word is peroikos, having a home near, that is, as noun, a bydweller, a foreigner, an alien, resident, sojourn, stranger, dwelling near, neighboring in the New Testament, a stranger, a foreigner, one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship. Without citizenship in God's kingdom, one who lives on earth as a stranger, a sojourner on the earth, of Christians whose home is in heaven, one who dwells in a place. 1 Peter 2:11, as sojourners and aliens. This is the equivalent of the Hebrew word toshab, which we've already used, as a temporary resident could be an Israelite. The New Testament, therefore, has a similar variety of words as has the Old Testament in this area, so we can no longer presume that all strangers and foreigners, as translated, are non-Israelites. Comparisons must be made from the Old Testament foundation in the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets. There is a certain relationship conveyed by one pair of words used in the Old Testament, which always compares with the same sentiment conveyed by a similar pairing of the words in the New Testament. These New Testament phrases are derived from the Old Testament, so there is a link between them. Psalm 39:12, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger, kinsman visitor with thee, and a sojourner, toshab, temporary resident, as all my fathers were." Genesis 23:4, "I am a stranger, kinsman visitor, and a sojourner, toshab, temporary resident with you." Leviticus 25:23, "For ye are strangers, kinsman visitor, and sojourners, toshab, temporary resident with me." 1 Chronicles 29:15, "We are strangers, kinsman visitor, before thee, and sojourners, toshab, temporary resident." And 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech as strangers, temporary resident, and pilgrims." So Peter was writing to the Hebrews. In Hebrews 11:13, "These all died in faith and confessed that they were pilgrims, xenos, stranger, and strangers, parapediomus, visitors on the earth." Those were God's people. Ephesians 2:12, "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers, xenos." And the first word of the apolatrio, "from the covenants of promise." This was Israel. Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God." Xenos and perikos, talking about Israel. Here we have a selection of scriptures from both testaments in which there are parallel words. In the Old Testament references, the paired words are ger and toshab. In each case, while both terms are used to define race, it is essential to determine the context in which they are used to verify which race is under consideration. In Hebrews 11:13, the pilgrims and strangers are Israelites because the book is written to the Hebrews, those whose fathers have been given the law of Moses. In other words, in other New Testament verses, it is not clear at first glance that they are Israelites, but when we examine the Greek, we find similar terms, ones that identify Israelites in each context, and it is easy to verify that each reference is indeed to Israelites. These paired words do not teach that there are two groups of people, but rather that they are all are Israelites in two different situations. When David said that he was a stranger and a sojourner in Psalm 39:12, he was one person who was two things. He was a stranger and he was an alien, are not necessarily two completely dissimilar groups of people. In Ephesians 2:12 and 2:19, in this case, there are one group of people who are two things. This follows exactly the same pattern as presented in the Old Testament. When we compare what David is saying in Psalm 39:12 with what Peter is saying in 1 Peter 2:11, we find a common distinction. David refers to all my fathers who were, of course, Israelites. Peter is addressing the elect and not others. This book of Peter is written to strangers, scattered. Note this well, there is no way around it. This cannot be spiritualized to make it refer to some non-Israelite multicultural church or multiracial church. Both David and Peter are saying they have no kinship with the races among whom they, Israel, are temporarily living, that is, for the duration of their lives. We find a remarkable affinity and agreement between both testaments. In both, Israel is totally exclusive. It is now even more difficult to insist that these so-called Gentiles are non-Israelites. Before we leave this subject of strangers, let us consider another very significant scripture. John 7:35, "Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles," the word Hellenes or Greeks, "and teach the Gentiles," Hellenists or Greeks. As we saw in the chapter, Galatians and Israel exclusive, the dispersed among the Greeks, relates to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, whom Jesus says he came for only, Matthew 10:6 and 15:24. Those lost sheep were the only ones the disciples were instructed to visit. "Come now and let us reason together." Could the disciples go to proclaim the gospel to the kingdom of a race they could not find because they were lost? They were not so lost that they could not be found, were they? Lost in this context has to do with being put aside for punishment. That's what the word lost means. To read the parables of Jesus in the light that these lost sheep are the house of Israel is enlightening. The lost sheep are never non-Israelites. When we come to the regathering of those strangers who are scattered, how could it ever be regathering of any other than that exclusive race of Israel who were scattered in the first place? When we look again at 1 Peter 2:9, we find these particular strangers of 1 Peter 1:1 were chosen, Isaiah 41:8, "Jacob whom I have chosen, a royal priesthood," Isaiah 61:1, Hosea 4:6, "and holy nation," Deuteronomy 14:2. Please note that nation is singular in this context. Some may still wish to deny these holy, set-apart people still exist as being different from all other nations. But Peter knew they still existed when he wrote to them. A peculiar people, Exodus 19:5, Deuteronomy 26:18, Psalm 135:4, Israel and Judah were taken into their respective captivities because of their continued disobedience under the law. Following the captivities, these people moved away from Palestine because God had cast them out of that land. On top of being scattered, they also lost all knowledge of their law, which means they lost the rituals for reconciliation with God. They were lost as members of the eternal kingdom of God. However, as a nation of people, they did not cease to exist. Jeremiah 31:36 and 37 and Jeremiah 33:17, Jesus came for these people because by making an ultimate sacrifice, they no longer needed the Levitical law as a means of reconciliation with God. They could go direct by prayer in Jesus' name because he is now the mediator for the individual Israelite. It was still limited to Israelites because only they had broken the law covenant. Only they had the indwelling spirit that needed to be saved from eternal death. The physical location of the dispersed tribes was well known up to the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. After that, with no temple in Jerusalem as a focus for ceremony for those who wished to make the journey, the whereabouts of these people was forgotten over time. Nevertheless, the existence of the sun, the moon, the stars says the nation of people still exists today. The words of Jeremiah's prophecy are quite definite and cannot possibly apply to a church in the popular concept. As a separate matter of prophecy, the nation of Israel would always have a monarchy ruling over them from the site of the official throne. This is sometimes confused with 1 Peter 2:13, which refers to the people respecting the authority of the king. This is a different matter. The teaching throughout the New Testament, even for the Judeans, is to obey the civilian authorities of the day, render unto Caesar, etc., and not to foment social upheaval. This directs us to stand up for what is right when formal opportunities and mechanisms are available, but not to incite social unrest by going outside the formal system. How would these houses be spiritualized? The quoted prophecies are those made to Israel. Israel is still just as exclusive today. Hallelujah and praise the Lord.